I love that that's what the show continually reminds us to do, which is enjoy the time that you have on this earth because you don't know when it's going to go away. And just truly make sure you're taking care of your humanity, you know, because your humanity, your joy, the happiness that comes with living a good life, that only comes with consistent effort.
Hey Zed heads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Lucy.
And this is the Walking Dead cast episode 460. We have the great fortune to be able to talk with the wonderful Ross Marquand.
Oh, and wasn't he lovely?
We just did, and he was great. Of course, we had no doubt. As you'll see, it's a really short one. He's doing a bunch of press today, and he only had a tiny slot for each person, but we'll take what we can get with Ross. So it was really fun to be able to talk to him, especially since the first time I talked to him, as you mentioned to him, was like right after his very first episode. And now we're getting to talk to him right before the end. Yeah. 2015.
Man. That doesn't sound that long ago. And then I'm like, nope, that's 7 years.
That's nuts. It's crazy. Anyway, enjoy. Hey, Ross. Welcome back to the podcast. So great to see you. This is my co-host, Lucy. She's in the UK.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Hello, Lucy.
Hi, Ross.
Nice to meet you too.
And I don't know if you recall, but the last time I talked to you on the podcast was right after your first episode on The Walking Dead.
Oh, my gosh.
Back in 2015.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously?
And now here we are at the end, and you've gone from the new guy to one of the most beloved characters on the show. And the worst thing I hear about Aaron is that we don't get more of him. So much has happened since those first episodes for you and for Aaron. And so I'm going to challenge you with a question. If Aaron could go back in time and say something to himself back then, what would he say? And for bonus points, what if you could go back, Ross? What would you say to yourself?
I think he'd probably, I mean, both me and Aaron would probably go back in time and say, be a little bit less nice. I think that, you know, he every single community he came up against, whether it was Rick and the gang or the Heapsters or the Saviors, everyone just beat up on him so much because he was, I think, being so diplomatic and nice, which is one of his biggest strengths. But I also think that it got him hurt quite a bit. So I would say be a little bit more, not mean necessarily, but don't take as much from people, I guess.
Yeah. Assertive.
Be more assertive. Yeah.
And you too, huh? For yourself?
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I mean, for me, am I talking to Aaron or?
No, you're talking to yourself.
Myself in 2015. Yeah. I think that advice still holds true for me. Yeah, be more assertive for sure. Yeah.
You know, as you're saying that, it feels like I think Rick would have given himself the same advice. And that path that Aaron's gone on is somewhat similar to Rick's. Have you thought much about that?
I think about it a lot. I mean, I think a lot of fans are drawing comparisons between the two, of course, because of the beard and the missing arm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very easy transition or easy logical leap to make that comparison. But you know, Angela and I talked at great length about we want to make sure that Aaron is his own character completely. We didn't want to really mirror too much of Rick's storyline into mm-hmm. Aaron's. Yeah, I think inevitably any of these characters, if given enough time, you're going to develop a harder exterior. You're going to be a lot more mistrusting of people, and I think that's probably a good thing in the zombie apocalypse, because there are literally threats everywhere and all of them are pretty much trying to kill you. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a good thing that they've developed a harder exterior, I guess, you know? Yeah.
Well, that kind of brings it nicely to, I wanted to ask a little about one more, the pandemic episode that was essentially a two-hander with you and Seth Gilliam, but then of course Robert Patrick comes in as Maze, and it was a very intense episode. And I think for Jason and I, one of the standouts of those six that we were given in the COVID period. What was that experience like of shooting, and the kind of emotional places that you had to go to in that episode were very intense. And I couldn't imagine Aaron of 2015 in that situation there. So yeah, I'd love to talk a little more about that.
No, that's a great question. I think we were all, for several reasons, you know, nervous about how it was going to go, given the time that we shot it. Mm. You know, we had you know, a lot of new protocols to handle, of course, but also just the emotional weight of that episode. It's, you know, it's so wild to see these characters who have just beat, you know, the Whisperers, and that's a huge relief, of course, is a great weight off their shoulders. But now they're faced with this heavy realization that they're out of resources and they're out there trying to find something so that their daughters can survive, so the next generation can survive. And I think when they find this supply warehouse, they're overjoyed. But then when they, of course, meet Maze, played so brilliantly by Robert Patrick, who was just this guy, not at all like the T-1000. I imagine he was going to be like, he's actually a complete sweetheart and a really good guy.
He didn't try to stab you or anything.
No, he didn't. He didn't develop metal arms. Yeah. Okay. No, actually, an absolute sweetheart and cracking jokes, which I was not expecting. But you know, he really brought his A game, and I think that helped Seth and I so much, because the whole episode is about, you know, relishing the time that you have on this earth, you know, enjoying the things that you do have, the moments you have. And then when they meet this guy and they're trying to, you know, save him, or, and I think Aaron gets very close to saving him. I think it's just amazing. And this is, I won't spoil it for those who haven't seen it, but basically it doesn't end well.
No.
I love that that's what the show continually reminds us to do, which is enjoy the time that you have on this earth, because you don't know when it's going to go away, and just truly make sure you're taking care of your humanity, you know, because your humanity, your joy, your the happiness that comes with living a good life, that only comes with consistent effort.
I was just going to say, one of the ways that that Aaron and Gabriel got to enjoy themselves was to have that bottle of whiskey, which I immediately went and looked up because I wanted to get one for myself. And I think it was just made up for the show. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Too bad. But it's a great segue, because we're getting to talk to you right now because you're involved in this partnership between The Walking Dead and the Sexton Single Malts. They actually sent me a kit a while back with some whiskey and ingredients for this really good, delicious blood orange Walking Dead cocktail that I very much enjoyed. And so could you tell me a little bit about this partnership with The Walking Dead and what Sexton has coming up?
Well, it was I think very serendipitous, because I went to Ireland about 13 years ago and spent a month there. So it was the first time that I really got to indulge in specifically single malt Irish whiskeys. And they reached out. I don't know if it was exactly because of that episode and, you know, we're sharing these fine whiskeys.
I was wondering about that.
I was curious too, but they reached out, and I was so thrilled, because I love this whiskey and I love the ad campaign, specifically the ones that I saw, ironically, when we were shooting one more, continue reminding people, we don't know how much time we have on this earth. Enjoy it while you can. And just, I mean, if you get a chance to read, you know, the quotes on the side and everything, it's just a beautiful reminder to you know, enjoy what you have while you can. And I love their campaign, and I thought it was a perfect time, since, you know, they were working with Walking Dead already, and I was thrilled when they reached out. So I'm very excited to be working with them.
That's excellent. Cool. I think they have a Walking Dead branded whiskey coming up. Is that?
They do. And I believe mid-February. So I'm very excited to see that come out as well. Because, I mean, absolutely, the skulls kind of lends itself already. It's perfect tie-in arrow.
Yeah.
It's great, you know?
I mean, if you're in the ZA, you're going to want a bottle of that or two.
I think so. Yeah.
Another recent episode, and it kind of plays into what we were talking about earlier about how Aaron has changed, is when he was interrogating the Whisperer at the Hilltop. And I could understand how he could get to that point, given that everything he's been through. They killed Jesus. They infiltrated his community and left them starving. But I'm also wondering if you were thinking as you were filming that, wow, this might turn some people around on Aaron. And do you care about that kind of a thing? Do you worry about it? Or
I actually didn't worry terribly that people would be put off by that, because I think anyone in Aaron's shoes or any of the people, the survivor's shoes, would really say to themselves, yeah, that's, I totally get it. I mean, you know, the reason why his daughter is starving and the reason why his whole community is on the brink of total extinction is because of the Whispers. And I think he was very well justified to torture the Whisper the way he did. And, you know, maybe he went a little too far with the antler and the sternum, but, you know, hey, sometimes you gotta do crazy stuff to get the answer you need, you know? So that was also one of the coolest things I've ever seen on the show too.
Yeah. Well, when you're holding the zombie and it was like jerking around and you were trying to get it over to him, how was it technically to play that? And did you like laugh about it with the guy who was playing the zombie?
Oh, takes, well, how did that go? He was a trooper, honestly, because I mean, they rigged it up where this, it was a dual plate on the front of his stomach or chest and then on his back. And we had, you know, they did an incredible job of fixing this antler to the back and the front of this thing. And I just said, I'm so sorry, this is going to be jerky. He's like, hey man, it's all good. You know, he's like, I already did my stretches for the day. I was like, great, trying to get Brad. But my job was to kind of like, you know, downshift him essentially with the back of the antler in my hand, just trying to get him to, you know, go back to where I needed him to go. It was amazing. It was such a, I think one of the craziest ways to interrogate a person probably ever in the history of TV. So right. I was pretty proud of that. Yeah.
I've never seen anything quite like that before.
No. Yeah,
very compelling to watch, I think.
Yeah. Interrogation by antler. Yeah.
Interrogation by antler. It sounds like a cologne or a whiskey or something. So we're kind of coming up towards the end of the show now, which is just wild to think about. And it's been really interesting, I think, to have Angela Kang come and sort of breathe some life into these last few seasons, kind of take it in a different direction. Now, we heard in various interviews that the actors were, some actors maybe asked Angela or were in talks with Angela about specific things they wanted for their characters, like a dog, for example. Did you have that kind of talk with Angela, and what did you want? I know you spoke earlier about wanting to see Aaron as quite separate from Rick, but was there anything else that you kind of wanted to do in these sort of last few seasons?
Well, ironically, I mean, and this is the comparison that a lot of people draw, is the missing arm, but they also talk about the beard, and that is one thing, Wes, because me personally, I mostly have a beard in real life. I just desperately wanted to have a beard back, because when I got this show, I had a pretty big beard and I just kind of wanted it back. But I also thought it was a physical manifestation of the loss and the struggle that he's. I wanted all of us to look a little bedraggled as the last few seasons, because he lost Eric, he's lost Jesus, he's lost, you know, Abraham, all these incredible people that he was very close to, Sasha, you know, like you name it, like he's had so much loss. And I just wanted to see a physical differentiation from who we saw as this baby face, innocent J. Crew guy in season 5 to where we're at in season 11, you know, and luckily she was on board with that. And then as soon as I asked her if she was cool, that she said, yeah, that sounds great. Also, we're thinking about cutting off your arm. How do you feel about that? Okay. Sure. Sounds great.
You gain a beard, but lose an arm.
Exactly.
One of the, we asked for some listener questions in case we had time, and Rita Cantanella Orell says, can you tell us how the prosthetic arm works, and does it come easily on and off, or do you have to keep it on all day during shooting?
It's not an easy on and off situation. It's actually, Greg Nicotero and his team, KMB, built this incredible prosthetic that is made to my exact specifications, I guess, with my arm. So I dipped it in this epoxy, and so it's extremely tight when you put it in there. So once you slide into this thing, it's kind of like an eggshell crate, and essentially it goes over your arm and your fingers, and there's a screw here, 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 and then 1, 2, 3 down the arm, and then it's ratcheted up with these leather straps. So once you're in there, you're in there. I mean, I do everything all day for 12 hours wearing this thing, and it's not easy, especially when you're trying to eat lunch or something. But yeah. It's just honestly a lot simpler to keep it on all day than take it on and off. So I just leave it on there. So yeah,
your arm must smell great when you take that thing off at the end of the day.
You know, it doesn't actually smell, but you know whose hands, Cudlitz is, Abraham's gloves always smelled a little raw.
What's he been doing?
I remember that. That was like, yeah.
I think we have just a couple more minutes. I definitely want to get your feelings on just how you're feeling that the end is in sight and how you think you're going to feel at the very, very end.
I don't know. I think a lot of us have been kind of, you know, speculating on how we're going to feel as we enter this last month of shooting. We've got about 5 weeks left before we wrap.
Wow.
And that's a strange feeling. I got on the show 8 years ago and it changed my life in more ways than one. And I just, it's weird to think that chapter of my life is finally coming to an end. And of course, you hope that there's always going to be new life for your character in movies or TV shows, spinoffs or whatever, but you never know. Mm. So I think we're just trying to relish every day we have and enjoy it, because it's going to be over before we know it. And then that's it. So, yeah, it's pretty scary, but also exciting. We're ending it the best way we know how.
Yeah.
And everybody's coming together and just, trying to tell the best and most provocative story we can. With the time we have left, and I'm just excited to see how it all comes together, honestly, as a fan of the show myself, you know.
That's great. Well, I mean, we just want to thank you for being on the show. You've really added a lot to it, and you really are. Aaron's a beloved character, and
so much.
I'm so glad that you have, it seems like people have noticed you and you've been appearing in other things, and so I'm happy for your career, and I hope it continues to flourish and everything. So just thank you for everything, Ross.
Absolutely, and I hope you get to go back to Ireland once you've finished shooting.
I'm very much planning on it,
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
One of my favorite countries, so yeah.
Yay.
All right, take it easy.
Excellent, thank you.
Bye, guys.